things first, rest in peace to the great Bill Russell. This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. We're going to skip the 2006 for today because we have a lot to get to in current day. We will dive into the news from more than a week ago that Vince McMahon was officially leaving for good. And then we'll dive into a really good SummerSlam. I think some people are overrating it, but I mean, like, folks do that all the fucking time with wrestling. Oh, yeah. How you boys doing?
Doing well, you know, we're on the road for a couple weeks. Planned to go to Raw at the Garden, which fell through, but that was fine. I mean, it was kind of not really like a garden show anyways. It's kind of regular Raw, which whatever. But yeah, overall, doing well. Yeah, we got a lot to get into today.
Yeah, we do, man. And the very first thing before, because you know, it's all, you know, a layered thing. The outcomes we get at SummerSlam are dependent on who's in control, and no longer in control is Vince McMahon. We tried to do something on it a month ago when there was no real certainty on what the status was with Vince, what was going to happen creatively with the company. Now he's gone completely. And, you know, the underlying issue is much greater, even much greater than it was when we initially first started it. But we are, like, living in a new reality now where pro wrestling is not run by the megalomaniac from Stamford, Connecticut. Now you have his daughter in control. The baton has been passed. The succession has started officially. Sorry, Shane, but you're not getting a piece of the pie as long as that man's alive.
Yeah.
And then the unbelievable less than 2 year come up of Tony Khan to go from CAA, the biggest dude in CAA, to now being the, was it president? He's always been the president, but now he's co-CEO co-CEO. Incredible. And on top of that, we as wrestling fans get the cherry on top. What we've been begging for ever since he took control of NXT, and that's Triple H as the head of creative. Like, the dominoes are finally here to where Vince is gone, and now the succession plan has been laid out, and the early returns on it are very promising.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so the Triple H news actually came, well, the news that he was doing talent relations
came first.
That came, what, Friday morning?
Friday morning. Yeah. And it off the bat, it was fishy. Yeah, you know, there was the news that, oh, he was coming back to be like EVP of talent relations. Johnny Ace, psh, get out. Don't need to see you anymore. What do you do here? Go hang around your Bella wife.
Yeah.
So that was the first domino of that day.
Yeah. Yeah, so that came first. And it's like, well, okay, there's only like a handful of people that have ever done that job. So it makes sense. He's one of them. He's done it before. Yeah. You know, it was like Bruce and JR, and that's about it. So you have a limited pool of people to choose from. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, later that afternoon, Vince just sends out a tweet that's like, at 77, it's time to retire. And which, the initial shock of that aside, it's like, okay, there's clearly more going on here.
Yeah.
He was never going to just retire. No. And we still don't know,
business,
I think.
You understand that if someone releases some major, major news on a Friday, you can bet your ass that when you wake up on Monday, you might find out the reason why.
Yeah, and that's happened to an extent. You know, I know the SEC was getting involved in looking into him, which that's not something that you can mess around with.
Not that SEC, no. Nick Saban's not trying to recruit Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And I mean, like they had said, you know, he didn't report the funds.
Yeah.
And which you can't do. Even if it's his personal money, everything is...
Now, forgive me if I'm wrong. That's strictly because they're a public company.
Exactly.
Like, if he owned it outright, he could do whatever the fuck he want. But because it's a public company and they have to report those numbers,
he used his own money, but it was technically for something related to the company, so you have to report it.
Exactly.
From what I was seeing, but so yeah, that happened. I mean, listen, we don't even know all the stuff. There's going to be more. Like, there's a real sports thing coming. There might be another Wall Street Journal article coming. There's going to be more stuff. Like,
The last thing Vince wants is HBO up his ass.
Yeah. And so it's clear that, like, this had to happen now for a reason. Because when this originally came out. Yeah.
Oh, that's a big benefit to an HBO partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, again, when it originally came out, we kind of landed on, well, he's probably going to retire in the next couple of years. They're going to start coming up with a plan, and it just seemingly has gotten escalated, which, you know.
Acceleration is rejoice.
As it should be. And something that's already happened, you know, throughout this week is we're just hearing all kinds of stories about how his brain might not have been working well.
Was mushing like hell. Yeah. You need a filter. Created. First off, if you, Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr., need a filter to creatively decide what to do, and like the issues when it comes to TV have been longstanding. Like it's not a new thing. Changing up the script day of, you know, messing up plans, scripts not being done until showtime. I feel like that's just a regular thing in pro wrestling for that company. But if you're not able to efficiently, creatively decide the route to go, and that was the issue for us, for a lot of people that were in that locker room during that time span, is creatively, what the fuck are we doing? And now it's becoming even more apparent. You know, the word was that it was pitched before Dakota Kai got released initially, the trio of her, EO, and Bailey, and he shot it down. Listen to that goddamn pop last night on SummerSlam. You tell me whether that was the right idea to put those three together or not. It's shit like that that's like not understanding what your audience wants. Trying to cater to what you feel pro wrestling should be, and not just riding the wave of what's going on and where things are trending.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, we finally got past that hurdle, right? Now it's on Stephanie, to a lesser extent, Nick Khan. But, you know, it's on Trips, but we feel like we trust Triple H because he's had that experience in NXT where, hey, TV week might not have been good, but he always delivered.
Yeah.
Like, and that was the thing that made, that like gained our trust within NXT as a brand. Now it's up to all of them to put the pieces into motion to make WWE even larger now that Vince is gone, which is going to be hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, let's be clear, like, Triple H isn't going to, you're not going to agree with everything he does. Like, but I think what everyone's looking for is just better than what it's been, which isn't hard to get to because they've kind of gone so off the rails the past couple of years that all he really is going to need to do is just, you know, get back on track to what they were a couple of years ago. They don't need to, you know, reinvent the wheel or anything. They just need to do simple stuff.
They need freshness. They need everything to be coherent and like just things to make sense. Less rematches will no doubt happen because of the stories that have been told already. I'm pretty sure the Fightful article, that one of the Fightful articles that came out basically said that it was, he would see a match, he would think it's good, and then he would forget how many times they do it.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's so obvious and so evident when you just look at the TV product for the last couple of years. It's repetitive.
It's repetitive and there's no storyline continuity.
Exactly, yeah.
What does that tell you? Someone kind of doesn't have their marbles on tight.
Exactly. And, like, even with, like you said, like, with, you know, them rejecting the Bailey stable with Dakota and Io, it's like, if they were rejecting that, I would love to see what the pitches were for her that she submitted for Mania 37. All of them probably would have made sense.
I want to see some of the pitches for folks that were cut.
Yeah,
I want to see the pitches for Keith Lee that were denied because, you know, we want to go with Bearcat.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. You know, what did he not believe in to the point that he had to like fuck it up completely? And even some of the folks on the main roster right now, like I'm gonna wonder if Butch is still Butch. You know, I'm gonna wonder if some of these folks who just got shuffled around for the sake of being shuffled around, if they, you know, go revert back to their regular selves, Dijak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these folks that, like, legit seem just thrilled, you know, for things to be changing. Ali.
No, yeah, I agree with that, too. I think it's also evident in the shows, and maybe it's, you know, us trying to see things differently just because mm-hmm. we know that different people are in charge, but everything just feels looser.
Commentary's been much
commentary
looser.
Commentary is so much looser. When everybody's talking, it feels looser now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel mm-hmm. as rigid. Drew's promo last night felt smooth because he was talking like a normal person.
Right, and he was talking to the crowd.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to remember, like, hit points and lines.
And not even just that, they actually did, like, promos and segments at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, which they never did.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, again, and, like, you know, Raw, they started with the Miz and Logan Paul brawl. Like, that was cool. They don't usually do that. Like, you know, Rhea Ripley came back and got to be involved and kind of mix it up with Fran Dominic. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that that would have happened under Ben. So it's small things right now. And yeah, I think we're trying to find things that are different just to kind of be optimistic. But, you know, it's only been a week, but so far it's been pretty good. Like, and they have a chance now, you know, definitely now, maybe like more after Clash at the Castle, but they have a chance to actually do like a reset.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I think the draft coming up, you can yeah. really make it a full reset if you want to. And that's going to be interesting to follow. It's just, there's actual, you know, like optimism going forward instead of, you know, having to worry about yeah. what's going to happen when things actually start working well, because there's a guy that's going to kneecap it.
Exactly. 100%. There was a point surrounding Vince and some folks who just didn't work out that, you know, still perplexes me, but I wonder now, like, we've seen Dakota just now, it's just instantaneous. I don't think any kudos to everybody who kept that under wraps,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's somebody that, what, 2 months ago contract was up, released. Or, I mean, you know, just let go. And I would one would assume over the last couple of weeks there's been talk, there's been dialogue. But to keep all that under wraps when people are wondering about Gargano and other folks, that gives me a lot of hope for, like, certain surprises. Because one thing that I think during the tail end of Vince's era, most of these surprises got very, and you might still get a good pop, you might still get a good reaction, cool, but it got very, very predictable. And you have something like that where, like, there's a woman like Dakota Kai who, if you've seen her wrestle, if you've seen her work down NXT, you love her, you see the potential in her, you want her to do great. Under somebody like Vince, she would have never stood a chance. Under somebody like Vince, somebody like Shotzi doesn't stand a chance. But then Triple H is in the helm, and all of a sudden, she might not have an entrance, but she's working a match on SmackDown. She's working really well, and she's getting a pinfall victory. You got somebody over here in Dakota Kai who, first night on the main roster, she's debuting in a new stable with Bayley as her head. Like, that gives me a lot of hope for, you know, some of the, because that's one of the things that with pro wrestling back in the day, like, it really caught your attention. You had those Monday Night Wars and you had surprises week in, week out, and they were true fucking surprises. They weren't things that was just like, oh, wow, it was great to see them finally show up. It was like, yo, that person's here, or this person showing up against that dude. We need more of that in pro wrestling. Instead of, like, predicting, oh, yeah, Edge is going to come back, and there's Edge.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's, like I said, it's exciting, you know. I tweeted it the other day, like, with Triple H back in power, there are some people that you could think of feasibly, you know, some of them are in AEW, and they're going to be there for seemingly a while, because they all sign long contracts, which, hey, whatever. I mean, no, we don't know for sure, but... You know, the people that jumped out when I tweeted that really were, you know, Dakota, Tegan, you know, Johnny and Candace, and yeah. probably EO. So, I mean, you know, there's a collection of people who are very clearly, you know, Triple H people. Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, I think they'll probably all be brought into the fold.
Yeah, I could honestly see if they need a fourth woman for the new stable, I could see Candace going there. I think Asuka is probably going to be who's the third person there. Although I think Tegan feels like a slam dunk. And if we all could accurately predict that he was going to contact Dakota, and he seemingly did within the blink of an eye, because she was literally streaming late Friday night. It's so crazy that she was at that show.
Yeah.
Friday night in Orlando, and then on a jet to Nashville. She had a hard flight, you know. That's
totally crazy. I think, I don't know if Tegan's not been doing anything just because she's just hanging out, or if it's visa issues, but I'm sure they'll probably square that away. But I think Candace and Johnny, especially Candace at this point, because I know Bailey wants to work with her real bad, and she's wanted to work with Dakota real bad too. They'll probably find a way for her to get there. I think that's a lock. And I think also, I know people have been, you know, wondering, like, okay, well, what about SmackDown? Well, I think Alba Fire is probably going there. I can honestly see Toxic Attraction going up there, too. Mm-hmm. I think they'll find their way with it. And besides, the draft is in, like, a month.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the other thing about SmackDown and also Triple H being in power is it wouldn't surprise me now if Sasha and Naomi are back.
Yeah, let's be honest. This discussion is pretty much wrapped up if Sasha and Naomi can come back, which I think is significantly more feasible now, especially since, I mean, let's be honest about it, now that Io's on the main roster, that's a big thing to dangle in front of Sasha because she wants to face her and wrestle her all the time. Mm-hmm. You know that. So I could definitely see them coming back as well because the problems are gone.
Yeah, it's a new day. Yes, it is. Let's now transition into SummerSlam. We'll talk about that trio, that stable, and what might be next for them after we talk about the opening match. And it makes even more sense in the world now why that match opened. Mm-hmm. For the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, they have had themselves a really solid series of matches around both titles over the last year. And, you know, SummerSlam to me is really just a culmination of a year-long journey in both the opening match and the main event. And obviously, Brock and Roman have a longer journey than that, but let's just circle back a year for this iteration of it. It was really a culmination for both of those to meet at SummerSlam last year or encounter each other at SummerSlam. That was the start of it. You got the WrestleMania matches and then finally culminate here. I thought they did a hell of a job. And it's always incredible to see Bianca's freakish athleticism.
Yes.
And that Spanish fly was crisper than any top rope Spanish fly I've seen from anybody else. That was gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, really just a good match. And, you know, you go back to SummerSlam last year, we were all there. You know, obviously Becky coming back and winning right away.
Wow. Wow. Led to... Remember where people were a year ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not saying they were wrong for reacting like that. You know, people live in the moment. But you look at everything from there, you know, going into the triple threat in Saudi Arabia was very good. You know, I think they wrestled again at...
They wrestled at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, Extreme Rules.
I think they had a match on Raw.
Mm-hmm. The Mania match was awesome. And, you know, when the match started last night, I'm like, well, this isn't as good as the Mania match so far. And then, you know, you get a time, got it to build. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think it was a great opener. And maybe the two best in-ring female workers in the company at the moment.
They're certainly right now.
I would agree.
Best in-match workers.
Yeah.
I think, and I do think they obviously have strong contention for best all around as well. But they're certainly the
Sorry to Mercedes, but until you come back,
yeah, exactly.
It's those two.
And I like the and I like how it worked after with the post match angle. I liked the contrast in attires that Bianca and Becky had. It was sort of like a fire and ice type of thing. Yeah. I thought that was really good. I thought that was really cool. I thought that it was also really cool that much of the story was of the match was okay. We know each other too well.
Her chaps.
Yes.
Those are really good chaps. Absolutely. Good for sticking with the Tennessee theme, girl.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked how much of the match was pretty much, you know, okay, we know each other a little too well. There was a lot of countering going on. I really liked that. I really liked how they seemed to have such a strong sense of familiarity with each other. And after the match, it was clear that, you know, Becky was like, okay, threw my best shot at you. It wasn't enough. So I'm going to shake your hand. I thought that was a good callback to last year also, because remember, this did start with a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Because Becky pulled her in, and then, yeah, we all know what happened after that. Also, Pierce, to your point about the Spanish fly, I don't think I've seen a more emphatic one than that one. There was something about Bianca's last night that made it just seem more powerful.
Yeah. or Spanish flying just directly into a KOD was just, yeah, really good sequence and a really great good thing. Stamp on Bianca. It's just undeniable. That's the only word I can, like, just come up to describe her as undeniable. And then you get everything after, and I'm very glad to see Bailey not only back, but on Raw. Chris, are you okay?
Oh, man. That was wild. I'm sitting there. I pretty much ruled it out. Her tweeting earlier, she seemed a little too active to actually be at the show. But I guess she pulled a fast one on everyone. I'm sitting there. I pretty much rule it out. Her music plays. I go crazy. I'm just watching. You know, this is awesome. And then, you know, she gets up, you know, like halfway down the ramp, and she's like, do you remember me, Bianca? You're going to remember me for a long time. And then...
It was instant, real quick. It was instantly weird to me, not to me. Like, because that was a really just slow walk down the ramp. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, she was definitely taking her sweet time there.
Yeah.
And then, like, she dropped that line, and then suddenly, holy shit, it's Dakota Kai. Like, someone who was completely off the radar for everybody, obviously, besides people being like, oh, you know, she'll probably come back soon, now that Triple H is in charge. Apparently, soon was the first show that you could get her on.
Yeah.
And then, you're freaking out there, and it's like, okay. And then her music stops, and they're still standing there, and it's like, okay, what's going on here? And then here comes Io. And it's like, shit. Because that was another thing, you know, just like Dakota. It's like, okay, Triple H is there in charge. That means Io Shirai's coming soon. You figure, okay, she was hurt. Maybe it'll be a couple weeks, a couple months. Nope, we're getting started right away. I loved it.
Let's
go. I loved it. I mean, the execution of it was great. They got to the ring. And I thought Becky's turn and swoop in was done really well, too.
Seamlessly.
Yeah,
because you play it off of the mutual respect, all the, you know, the year-long journey with her and Bianca, they have mutual respect now. Here comes, can I just put in one gripe?
Sure.
I was telling my girl about this morning. I'm like, I tried to, like, you know, lay down the scenario. Here's what happened last year. They've been feuding for an entire year. Oh, sorry. Here's what happened last year. Bailey tore her ACL. She was supposed to face Bianca for the title, but all fell through. June fell flat. Well, now she's back. And what's the first thing Bianca's doing? Oh, hey, girl. Oh, my God. It's you. You're back. I'm so happy to see you. That was the reaction I saw from Bianca, and I was very upset.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, one little gripe that I just had to let out to a significant other. Other than that, yeah, that they did play it up very well with the turn for Becky, and now it's got me curious. I mean, obviously Bailey's got to go back for a title. Obviously not the title she lost, but you know, she's got to go back and challenge Bailey, or sorry, just challenge Bianca. There's nothing left for Becky and Bianca. You know, would be excited to see some Bailey and Becky, because
yeah, I think probably Bailey and Becky is now. I think they're still going to do Bianca and Alexa, because they kind of set that up on Monday.
Unless the new trio has something to say.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I mean, we'll...
and I mean, Alexa can be part of the face trio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can do a 6-on-6 at Clash of the Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would like that spot to go to Tegan, but you know.
She could still show up. Like I said, if they draft Candace for another person, they need a third person. There you go.
Well, I guess that was my question, was wait, why are we certain that there's going to be a fourth person? I feel like we become so conditioned to these three-person factions, trios, Like, would I love for Teagan to come back? Yes, because theoretically, Bailey's your number one. EO is your mid-carder. And you got your tag team in Teagan and Dakota. I'm just not sure they're going to do that right now. That's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, they got, I think, 5 weeks. So, a lot of
5 weeks into the pay-per-view. There. And then I would assume a draft would come after Extreme Rules or right before Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I think it's one of those two.
Yeah.
It might be before.
Right. And I do think you have time to get to Bianca and Bayley for a championship. Mm-hmm. And then eventually down the line, you know, after the draft, we'll kind of see what happens. But I really do hope we eventually get Becky and Bayley. It's maddening that we have not seen that yet. But we could put that on the back burner for now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I will say also, it might be a blessing in disguise because now they're both probably at their peaks.
Right, right. Yeah. I need everyone to stop acting like we want to see more Logan Paul.
Well,
stop it.
I mean,
he did do well.
Yeah, the in-ring stuff was good.
I don't care. Are we listening to the SummerSlam crowd who are there to be sports entertained, or are we listening to the crowds week in and week out that have to deal with them?
Well, yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't know. Like, again, I thought the in-ring stuff was good, but yeah, he wasn't very good on Raw. You know, it's cool that they get celebrities who are like actively interested in being there and you know, stuff like that. Not just people.
So I'm just seeing the time. 14:15. This match got more time than Bobby Lashley, Theory, The Mysterios and Judgment Day, Pat McAfee and Happy Corbin, The Usos and the Street Profits, Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey, which got an abysmal 4:35. Why the fuck did this need 14 minutes and 15 seconds?
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's a fair point, because it really didn't. You know, I enjoyed the match. Probably could have cut a few minutes from it and given them elsewhere. But, you know, I'm excited for, I think they're going to do AJ against Tommaso Ciampa. That'd be a good match.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. So it's fun, but yeah, I mean, again, I like the match. You know, Logan Paul doesn't really do anything for me, but he's very athletic, and you know, again, the in-ring was good, but I'd be fine, like, if he's not around.
They may have unlocked the formula. Like, of course, I'm not going to sit here and nut hug Logan Paul, but they may have unlocked the formula of finding celebrities who are interested in doing things, are willing to put in the work to, you know. Because you don't really have to be a great wrestler. All you have to do is learn certain moves.
Yeah.
And be able to act out a match. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you're able to give a Logan Paul so much credit. It's because he can act in a fight. He's really good at acting in a fight. That's what pro wrestling is. You are acting out a fight. So all you got to do is learn certain moves. And you can find those people that want to learn those moves and can practice them and pull it off well. I have no fucking clue if Bad Bunny knew how to do a Canadian Destroyer 18 months ago. But the fact that he went out there or knew what it was, the fact that he went out there and learned it and did it for perfection, it fucking works. We need more of that, you know? Even if, like, it's not a Logan Paul type. Go find more of those type of celebrities that want to get in and put in actual work rather than the ones that will just stand on the apron, they'll come in, they'll do a faint punch, they'll be terrible,
yeah,
and then get fake cheers. I think where the respect around Logan Paul comes from is that he's willing to put in the work, and we as wrestling fans have been so conditioned to get shit work from celebrities. So to see, you know, folks like him, like Pat McAfee, like Bad Bunny actually care about it, it's fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the thing. Like I said, I mean, the match probably was a little too long, but it was good.
Credit to Miz, too.
Yeah.
It's a future Hall of Famer right there.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Lashley making Theory tap. This was a formality, but I guess just to stick on Bobby, is we just continue to see week in and week out, but now like a presentation like this on SummerSlam, it's amazing to see the star that he's become. And you contrast that, we're watching him now in 2006 and he's still green, he's still finding his way, you know, but it's kind of like this is where he always should have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. And I mean, you know, we watched the 2006 stuff and they're trying to get him there then. And it just, for whatever reason, isn't really working. And now here he is, you know, 16 years later, one of the top baby faces and, you know, basically just a powerhouse. It's pretty crazy. It's right. Cool to see.
And it's genuine, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like you put somebody in that position and you try to make them like Bobby Lashley, right? You try to make them the baby face, muscle bound powerhouse, and it just doesn't work. And for Bobby, at a lot of times, it didn't work. But I think over the Hurt Business period and the period where he was WWE champ, and yeah, as a heel, you were able to just really show how much of a destroyer you are. And that endears you to a lot of folks. That endears you to people who appreciate that kind of menacing power. And you know, I think that potential's always been there for Bobby. But to see it finally in actuality, I was amazed at the presentation of him last night. Thought it was wonderful. They brought back the legs, hip, and body theme so he can just pose at the beginning. That was dope. And then he went out and he fucked up Austin Theory, which no one's ever going to be mad at that. So.
Yeah, it's very funny with Theory how whenever he was around, like either Lashley or
shit kicked out of him.
Roman or Brock, they just kicked his ass.
I like that though. He's there to serve as a foil.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. I liked the one time where Roman grabbed the briefcase.
Just smacked him
to walk over and whack him with the lights freaked down, and it was like, I'm gonna go kill Brock with it next.
Yeah, that was. That was wonderful. But I do think, like, you know, I think there's a point to him being a foil last night, because it didn't hurt Theory to go out there and lose to Bobby, because he was challenging and he already had like a much bigger prize. And then to go out to not cash in, even though you didn't even try to cash in technically, and then just, you know, really be a non-factor in the main event. You were there to get the shit kicked out of you and just go lay down and then continue to get the shit kicked out of you. But like, I guess for him, it is a good thing to be able to put in that position. You're being spotlight and you're being in a position where, yeah, you're still a threat, even though we're going to treat you like a joke for right now, which is what we want to see. We want to see him be treated as a joke. It will make his eventual cash in much better and make us hate him more when he eventually cashes in. So good job by the bookers. Shout out to Kat Dennings for watching. I don't know what TV show she has on Peacock or what movie she has on Peacock, but she was doing a wonderful job with the tweeting last night. And I just want you guys to stop scaring the hoes. It is not beneficial for people like me who like to talk with them and hang out with them and kiss them. It's very hard. So please let this be a safe space for everyone. The men, the women, the straights, the gays, the non-binaries. This is platform for all of us. The Mysterios and Judgment Day, no DQ tag team match. And the reason it was no DQ is because Edge was getting a new haircut and he decided to come out and be on his Eddie Munster. And he helped the Mysterios get their second win of the week against the Judgment Day. So, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it was bad.
I didn't think they had to do that tag match on Monday.
No, and no. You know what? Like, they made it no DQ, and then immediately, like, it wasn't tornado tag, and they didn't do, like, any sort of no DQ stuff for the first 6-7 minutes, whatever.
Weirdly arranged match.
Yeah, like, we all knew Edge was going to come out. I think you could have done it in a way where you either did more no DQ stuff, but maybe they didn't want to overshadow some of the Brock and Roman stuff, I guess. But, like, again, it was weird to make it no DQ and then basically just have the big thing be Edge comes back. Like, you could have just done a ref bump and had Edge come back instead.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like, it was fine. I actually liked the match a whole lot on Monday, I didn't like this one.
I mean, technically, you could have just had Rhea get involved and, you know, the ref just not look away. So I was gonna ask, didn't Rhea get involved? Because she did.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you could have done a ref bump and been fine.
Yeah, you could have just had Rhea in there beating the shit out of Rey Mysterio, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
She probably can beat the shit out of Rey Mysterio, let's be honest. I think in the middle of this is when we got Drew to come out to the crowd. Was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that promo. Great promo. He's going to get the title match against, it's Roman. We all know it's fucking Roman, at Clash of the Castle. Do we think it's his time? Do we think this is it?
Yeah, I'm kind of going back and forth because, like, yeah, it could be. I also think there's some stock in just saving it for LA and having it be Cody, but feels like there's a chance that we just go back to two belts at some point now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you run Cody and Seth for one of them and then Roman and whoever for the other. So,
well, you probably could, but what I was also going to say is, and while I agree, it probably does mean more for Roman to just hold it all the way. But I guess it only really benefits Roman. And at this point, I guess they named off the names last night. And that's how I knew, like, okay, we might be winding down. And they named off the four people who had longer championship reigns than him. It was like Pedro Morales, Bob Backlund, I want to say.
Hogan and Bruno, yeah.
Hogan and Bruno. And Roman's in that rarefied air. So I don't have it up right now. So I don't know, like, what's the gap between him and Pedro Morales. But if it's not a gap where he's going to hit that, it doesn't hurt to have him lose to Drew at Clash of the Castle. They will have another match in the meantime. And then you could still run Roman and Cody at WrestleMania for the belt, or whoever in Cody, and then Roman does the Rock match, even though I'd rather Cody beat Roman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, we may have reached the peak of this run. And I think we have, honestly, reached the peak of this particular title run. So if he drops it and then wins it back in a month or two, it's almost like, you know, same reign, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you kind of put it in totality. That's how I'm looking at it, choosing to look at it until they just have the Usos come in and then screw Drew over and then Roman wins that Clash of the Castle.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, I think, you know, the tag titles probably need to change too, but I mean that
probably need to change. We'll get to that. Pat McAfee and Happy Corbin. Unobjectively, was this the worst of Pat McAfee's matches so far?
I think so.
He seemed off his game. I wonder if he was a little jittery. But he was definitely not as crisp as he usually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, the entrance is cool. I actually don't mind the theme song. I wish I would have just got Seven Nation Army, but it's good enough.
I mean, see, here's the shitty thing is, like, they probably had that theme song in motion before Vince left, which sucks because I really want Triple H to just start buying licenses.
Yeah, I don't know if Nick Khan's going to let him do that, but, you know.
Actually, you know what? All this talk about bringing back this person, bringing back that person, you know who they need to bring back? Jim Johnston.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Honestly, from a part-time standpoint, I was trolling there. From a part-time standpoint, not a bad idea.
No, yeah, if he's a consultant or whatever. Yeah, if he's still, you know, willing to do it, yeah, you should. I mean, but yeah, I mean, this match was fine. Like, the show was interesting because I think it was good overall, but there was a decided, like, kind of lull in the middle part, kind of from probably Theory and Lashley, like, through.
Honestly, to the main event.
Yeah, I mean, That's the thing. Like, as long as your high points are high enough, you can kind of overcome the lulls. Mm-hmm. But, like,
I think there was some high points in between the lulls.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't hit it crisp, but the crowd popped for McAfee winning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I guess you can count that as a high point within the match. The Ronda turn, I would count as a high point within that match just because it changes the trajectory of this particular feud and where Ronda's going. We'll talk about that shortly. The thing with the Usos and the Street Profits is this should have been like, it should have been cut and fucking dry, right? There should have been no question about this shit. Who wins this match? Like, strip away the last couple weeks when the Street Profits stamped that they should have won this shit. They should have won it after what happened at the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
When you made it a fuck finish so that you could set up the Street Profits to have the clean win, the huge win at SummerSlam. So why in the blue fucking hell am I seeing the Usos still as champions at the end of this night?
Yeah, that's
aggravating.
Yeah, the Street Profits had the big entrance and just kind of felt like it was their time. And now I don't know. Like, I know we all like Montez. I don't know who's actually like really hoping for a turn, though. Like,
I'm not.
They're a good team.
Yeah. They're one of the best teams in the entire world.
Not a single solitary fucking soul is like, yo, I want to see the Street Profits break up. I'm clamoring to see what happens when they turn on each other. No, man. We love this tag team. And you want to break them up or cause some friction so then we can watch the same old shitty tag teams we've been watching that you don't elevate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not understand why they couldn't have gotten this win. It should have been so obvious. And it would have gotten that crowd reaction. But, hey, I guess we need to just make sure the bloodline is solid. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, like, because I don't know who's going to beat the Usos either.
Kevin and Sammy are about the only possible option, which I would understand, but it's also, like...
They're not on the same show right now, and Sammy's hurt.
And they're not fucking with each other, really, so...
Yeah.
I am, yeah.
Like, I would get it, but that's going to be waiting a while for that to come around.
Yeah, it's... What you do with the Usos, man? It's just getting real boring. And you had a ready-made title feud there for the Street Profits and the War Raiders or the
Vikings. Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like they heated up the Viking Raiders or whatever, and they're a heel team. They're not going to face the Hughes. That's silly.
Yeah. So that was really like the big.
If I'm gonna have a big complaint, it's that.
Yeah. Which I mean. I guess it kind of is what it is. I don't have any interest in them splitting up. And maybe they win me over. Like, you know, I think Montez is very good. But I also think he could be a singles guy and still be in a tag team. I mean, he faced Roman last year.
Yeah.
Like, you can still do it.
Yeah, you don't have to have them break up just for them to be singles guys. It's okay.
I'm seeing on Twitter, Mark Romani said, Logan Paul has no right to be this good at pro wrestling, but he is. And then Hurricane Shook Shane Helms tweeted the wink emoji and a thumbs up, so we know who's training the celebrities. We know who to thank for all their hard, tireless work.
Yeah, I think Shane Helms produced that match as well. I know I saw it somewhere yesterday, but yeah,
didn't he have a role with Bad Bunny too? Who trained Bad Bunny? I feel like it was Shane Helms.
Yeah. Bad Bunny and Drew Gulak, Shane Helms and Drew Gulak.
Okay, yeah, no, he's doing a fantastic job. That was the point I wanted to get to with Vince, is like you're seeing more Shane Helms's, more TJ Wilson's, and I'm so happy for the days where we see less and less Michael Hayes's.
Yeah, I know Michael Hayes did the main event though, so. You know,
he still has a little bit left to give, but like the days are coming, they're winding down. And like, that's, you know, we start seeing less and less of Vince's guys. I think we're going to see a better product. And that's not to say like they're losing it. it's just the natural progression of things. Michael Hayes has been there for 30 some years or almost. Yeah. You know, you do what you do well. Keep doing what you do for now. And that's the big spectacle of the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give dudes like Shane Helms and, you know, let's give them reps, you know, with younger folks a little bit higher or lower in the card, you know, so once you're ready to pass the torch, we're fine. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't talk about that with all the Vince stuff, but we all
Kevin
think
Kevin Dunn. Yeah,
Kevin Dunn.
That's what I was meaning to bring up was Kevin Dunn and Bruce Pritchard. We can like pause real quick, and I'll jump back into SummerSlam. I want Vince to go in like Ari Gold and Entourage. He just runs into the boardroom. You're fired, and in case your ears are fucked, get the fuck out.
Mm.
Cannot wait for Kevin Dunn to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's coming. And, you know, good riddance. He's another guy that's been there for a long time and is apparently a giant asshole. So
the wrestling just seemed fluid yesterday. Like we weren't having a whole bunch of shitty cuts for no reason.
Yeah, and that's something that I've noticed kind of all week, too. And I didn't really want to bring it up because I didn't know for sure. But
shots too.
Yeah.
They shot that show like it was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And I don't know if it was just, you know, being that it was outside in the daytime, but like right when the show started, I'm like, this looks really cool. And I can't exactly figure out what it is, but yeah. I think it's just because it was outside in the daytime.
The daytime aesthetic is a good one. I mean, if you can land it, it makes everything look cool. When I was watching that, I mean, I felt like I was watching Mania 9 or SummerSlam 92.
Mm-hmm.
There were good vibes there. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
For once. Everything feels refreshing for once.
Very, very refreshing. Very fun. Let's jump back into it with the SmackDown Women's Championship. There's not much to talk about there. Liv Morgan wins by pinfall, but it was a very sketchy pinfall. Excuse me. Afterwards, Ronda Rousey finally snapped, turned heel. Assaulted Liv and then assaulted the referee. So, good way to get her out of the picture for a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, the match could have been a little longer, but like.
Yeah, they apparently had some time cut.
Yeah.
But I don't know if maybe my view of it is slanted just because how I viewed the match going in, but I never expected it to be a marathon. I thought they were going to get at most like 12 minutes and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But we're even like just graze over 10. Wasn't expecting less than 5, but I think they told the story that they needed to. And I understand the gripes or whatever of Liv tapping, but like, it's like I had said earlier on Twitter, and I think that I hope that this continues to be a trend. You need something, I think, for Ronda to get mad at so that she can attack Liv after and snap versus just the trope of, oh, I'm mad I lost this match. I'm going to be an unlikable sore loser and attack the other person. And then in my explainer promo, I'm going to say that, you know, you all drove me to this. You people did this, did that. Like, okay, no. Give me something of substance. Give me a reason why Ronda should be mad that Liv beat her.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she doesn't respect her. She doesn't think that she's better than her, so what would make her mad? Oh, she made her tap out, but her
shoulders
were pinned to the mat for 3 seconds anyway, the ref missed it. So of course she's going to be mad because she thinks the victory is illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that. I get no one has to agree with me, but I like the fact that there was an actual reason for incitement and not just, I get the heat back on her, pal. She needs to beat Liv up.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know where they're going to go with that. I don't know if Ronda's going to be suspended or whatever.
She's probably going to be suspended. I imagine Liv could face Shayna.
Yeah.
That feels like an easy thing to do, especially since Shayna tweeted that Ronda is the legitimate champion. So I think that that's an easy thing to do. We know Triple H loves Shayna. She's an easy person to heat up. And they could probably do it in a night. And then maybe they can do that at Clash. And, you know, she can... And Ronda can come back, get involved or whatever, and then they can go from there. I don't know, but I think that mm-hmm. I think that's what they can do, but I expect Ronda to be quote unquote suspended and away from time. I know she's not advertised for Friday, that's right. Is what someone said.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, technically she should get a rematch because
it was of course, and that's fine. I don't
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm glad they didn't just have Ronda win it back. I think that would have
been... Yeah. And in hindsight, I mean, like, her eking out a win would have been good, but, like, this isn't the worst idea that they could have done with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, we now know that WWE's Day One will be returning. New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. So they'll return to the Day One pay-per-view in Atlanta, Georgia. If I go to the website just to... Oh, yeah. Brock Lesnar is on the advertising for Day One. So I assume that we will see Brock Lesnar again. And at the very least, we will see him in Atlanta, Georgia on January 1st, 2023. So,
yeah.
There we go. And that leads us into the main event, which is Last Man Standing, hopefully for the very final time. Exceeded expectations tremendously. And I'm going to be honest with you. It was a lot of action, but there was a lull. As soon as he grabbed that tractor and he flipped up the fucking ring, let's go. That match fucked.
Yeah, because it was, you know, it started hot and they did the table stuff and they were hitting each other with broken pieces.
Oh my god,
first off,
Brock jumping off of the, oh my god, that was great.
Oh yeah, it was the Big Show stretcher match spot, which, yeah, incredible. Yeah, I'm glad they started it like that. Just kind of went full speed right away. And then, yeah, once it did kind of hit that little bit of a lull, I was like, okay, well, what are they going to do now? And then Brock just went out to the tractor and dumped Roman out of the bucket, which actually didn't look as cool as I thought it would. But then he went back out to it and kind of tipped the entire ring up. And, yeah, from there, we were just moving on, man. And, you know, their WrestleMania match was not very good, and I think this made up for it. You know, Heyman took the F5 through the table, which God bless him for that. You know, the finish felt a little abrupt, I guess, but, you know, burying the guy under all the stuff, that's fine if you don't have anything else that you can do. And obviously Roman needed to win, but yeah, no, great match. Theory coming out and them both just kicking his ass. Good stuff. And yeah, I liked it a lot. I think it was a really good way to hopefully finally conclude this. You know, it was kind of like the WrestleMania 31 match where just action-packed, very, very strong throughout. And yeah, they kept the people engaged. Right guy won, and it's really all you're looking for. You know, there's no blood. Well, there was blood on Brock's back, but, you know, there's no blood in the way that I think we're all expecting it to be, but still just really good match either way. And, you know, the ring thing is something that we've never seen before, so that's something too.
Incredibly innovative spot. Yeah, from a last man standing point, I think it's so hard with a lot of these gimmick matches, because most of these gimmick matches we've seen before. In, you know, Roman had a last man standing that wasn't that great. The ending of it wasn't that great. And, you know, they really need to do this one justice. Especially if this is going to be the last time that they ever wrestle. And, you know, so many of the innovative spots and, you know, understanding the sheer will for both of them to win. First off, I need some slower counts. That's my only gripe. I think
Brock was struggling with the count a little bit there in the beginning, too.
Most of them was struggling with the count, because at 9, they're just like, gotta flip up. Anyway, I'm not going to bitch and complain about that too much, because the dudes in the ring were really good at just making you know that this is a high-octane, high-impact fight. We're here to battle for a championship. This is the last man standing. This is it. I want to kill you. Mm-hmm. And, bro, that fucking tractor spot is... First off, if I was sitting ringside to that side, I'm so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Did not get to see the ending of that match. Or you had to strain your neck to look up and try to see. But, you know, just Brock just doing whatever he fucking can to. And that's the thing about Brock is, like, he just wants to do is destroy. Like, he's not a wrestling guy. But then he gets in the ring and he's willing to do some of the craziest shit you have ever seen in your life. And that's truly one of the craziest things. Like, I think about some of the things that Brock's been a part of. The ring falling apart. He was the very first person to ever do that. Mm-hmm. Who in the blue fucking hell is thinking, yo, I'm going to drive a tractor into the ring and I'm going to flip it over. And yeah. The crowd just goes ape shit from that point on. And I think that, you know, storytelling wise from that point on, those dudes just hit notes. And it took, what, three championship shots, mm-hmm. all of the money in the bank, you know, blows that he took. And then, hey, we're just going to throw all the shit on top of you in order to keep you down and count you out. I thought that was phenomenal. You know, kudos to Hayes for putting it together. I know I just said I can't wait for you to leave. But yeah, great job putting that together. And hopefully this is the end. But I say this, if this is the end of Brock and Roman, they have established themselves as a top three feud in wrestling history.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, there's a handful of matches that didn't hit, but, you know, the WrestleMania 31 match is very good. You know, if you want to give them credit for the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam, you know, that's very good. Their match in Saudi Arabia last year was very good. And then, you know, this one, that's, you know, real good list of matches right there. I hope they stay away from each other. I don't know for sure if we're going to see Brock again. I know you said that he's on the advertising day one, which that's, yeah, that's good. I mean, it will have to see. It wouldn't surprise me if he's never back, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's back either. But that's also how I felt, you know, after WrestleMania 36, that's how I felt, you know.
Well, I guess, you know, we can talk about him walking out after the Vince announcement came down. And, you know, no matter how genuine it was, do y'all think that that's a sign that Brock is just loyal to Vince and he really doesn't want to do this shit for much longer? Or you feel like we're going to see him around? Do you think that was just an instant, you know, reaction and cooler heads prevailed?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of things because, you know, put whatever stock you want into it. But after day one, you know, Wayne Gretzky said that they were at the hotel bar together because he was doing the, you know, NHL on TNT stuff. And Brock said that he's got 3 or 4 years left. So, I mean, there's that, and it might just be that he doesn't.
He's, what, 45?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy, though, where, you know, he's dealt with one guy for, because I don't know the process when Brock's there. I don't think he's dealing with, you know, a whole litany of people. I think mm-hmm. he's just kind of coming in, probably getting his creative from Vince or even just through Heyman and just doing his thing and leaving. So, yeah, it's possible that, you know, the news, first of all, coming out when he's in the building. Like, if it comes out that Vince is retiring and Brock's at home, it's probably not as bad. But when he's already there and it just kind of comes out, it probably might have overwhelmed him a bit. You know, he got into his anxiety stuff a bit on the Pat McAfee show. That could play into it to an extent, too. Or it's also possible that, you know, he saw it as a chance to get more money, too. I mean, these are all scenarios that are likely or, you know, possible at the very least. And it's really hard to say.
But where do we see Roman Reigns going moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got Drew next. I think he's advertised for SmackDown this week, so we'll get some stuff there. You know, we talked about it. I don't think it'd be the worst idea for him to lose to Drew. I just won't believe it until it actually happens. But you know, Drew as your top champion isn't the worst idea. I think he did a good job during the pandemic. It's hard to get a, you know, full read on that just because. But before Cody came back, I mean, losing to Drew at Clash of the Castle was everyone's idea, you know, including exactly. mine. So, yeah.
I think what they could do if they want to, you know, play this how they want to, if they take Roman out of the title picture or whatever, and if they want to do Roman Rock, whatever the fuck, they could just have Drew hold it, and then you can drop it to Seth, who can drop it to Cody at Mania.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. Either, yeah.
That's not a bad lineage.
That's not a bad, yeah.
Because Cody's probably winning the Rumble, right?
Yeah, he's probably winning the Rumble. You can have Seth win the title whenever. It doesn't matter.
I'm about to say, you have an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber on a Raw. It
TLC. Yeah. There's ways for him to win it. TLC, right?
Yes. Yeah, and then, you know, you have the story of, you know, Seth and Cody one more time. Seth never beat him or whatever, and you'd have to have Seth, you know, in the feud finally get one over on him. But, yeah, no, I think that's – because if you want to do Roman and Rock, like, it doesn't – no, it doesn't need the title. It can. I guess the only problem is it has to main event one of the nights.
Yeah.
Definitely can.
But, you know, so would Seth and Cody, and so would presumably, you know, Becky, Ronda's
probably happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, you wind up in a huge conundrum, because theoretically, yes, Cody has to, like, you know, that'd be a great main event, but I don't know. Cody also didn't main event his own pay-per-view when he won the 8 pounds of gold.
Yeah.
So, I, you know... It's a matter of, like, does the placement in the match matter to him or winning the title?
Yeah.
And if it gives a spotlight to the girls, you know, I don't know what his feeling on it would be. But, like, yeah, for us, like, we want to see that main event one of the matches. Rock Roman is instantly the final match on night two. Don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Becky Ronda didn't even cross my mind. And now that they're... on flip sides, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and
the pop when Becky eventually pins Ronda is going to be.
Oh yeah, yes. And I think, also, you know, just kind of, we didn't talk about the Seth and Riddle part of the pay per view. I think that was good. I think cutting the match was good because they really hadn't really built to it that much. So, you know,
and it didn't need to do it there.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a hot angle, continue it.
Yeah, because that's going to be a big match now at Clash of the Castle. So
can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. We'll come back and we'll do some 06 for you eventually. I am at Cameron Santo, Rob's at Rob O'Neill 31, Chris is at Chris M. Novak, at BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. Sign up for the Patreon. We got a brand new episode of 2 Minute Drill coming for you. We are starting our divisional breakdowns tonight. We're recording this show on Sunday, July 31st. You'll hear this on Monday. We are recording 2 Minute Drill tonight. We're starting with the AFC and the NFC East. We'll give divisional breakdowns. We'll go through their odds. We'll go through schedules, predict win totals. We are here for 2022 in the National Football League. The Hall of Fame game's Thursday. Fuck, I can't wait to watch shitty football and bet on it. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you guys later.